I am not ashamed of the gospel, this good news, this great news, this fantastic news about salvation through Messiah Jesus, Yeshua, because this message and this message alone is the power of God that is able to bring salvation to everyone who believes the message, first to the Jewish people and then to everybody else. Well, shalom. This is Rabbi Loren coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Today I want to talk about wisdom. The book of Proverbs is about wisdom. It isn't enough to have just knowledge or information. A person can acquire a lot of information and even get a PhD from one of our most prestigious universities and still make all kinds of foolish decisions that will be harmful to himself and others. We need chokhmah, wisdom, which is the ability to use knowledge and information in the best way. Wisdom comes from applying knowledge in such a way that we live according to the Creator's wise principles that God has designed into the universe. Wisdom results in benefit and blessing and success. Foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. Foolishness is ignoring God's wise principles and results in damage and harm and loss, perhaps even eternal loss. We do not want to be foolish men and women. Today, I want to talk about humanity's desperate need to know God himself, and to know the Son of God, and to know the Word of God, and that we dare not add to the Word of God. And I want to look at Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. Humanity's desperate need to know God, to know the Son of God, to know the Word of God, and not add to the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1, the words of Agur, the son of Yakeh, the oracle. The man declares to Ittiel and Ukal. And that's Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1. We don't know the identities of these people, but their identities are not what is most important for us to know about them. The wisdom that Agur is giving us is what is important for us to know. And in spite of his protestations, Agur was wise. One of the things that characterizes wisdom is that it realizes its own limitations. Verse 2, surely I am more stupid than any man, and I do not have the understanding of a human being. Neither have I learned wisdom, nor do I have the knowledge of the Holy One. These words are not to be understood literally. They are hyperbole. They are exaggeration. Agur was not the stupidest man of his generation. He was one of the wisest of human beings. Very few human beings ever have the privilege of being an author of the Word of the Living God, to be part of the Bible. And Agur is one of those very special men. And his words are part of the wisdom books of the Bible, the book of Proverbs. Agur was indeed very wise. This wise man understood that he knew something about God and something about the ways of God, more than most people. But compared to what is able to be known about the infinite and eternal and wise God, Agur understood that he knew very little. I am more stupid than any man. I don't have the understanding of a man. Nor have I learned wisdom, or do I have the knowledge of the Holy One. Think about it. How much can an ant at the bottom of the mighty Empire State Building comprehend about that great building? How much can an ant understand about its size, its electrical system, its ventilation system, its heating and cooling systems, elevators, the structures of the floors and offices? The ant can understand very little about that great structure. The difference between an ant and the Empire State Building is less than the difference between the creature and the creator. How much can the creature truly grasp about the creator? Even less by comparison, than the ant can understand the empire state building. The Holy One is so holy, so different from us, so much greater than us, so utterly beyond us that we can only grasp the tiniest bit of knowledge about him. Augur was wise to understand that. Surely I am more stupid than any man, and I don't have the understanding of a man. Neither have I learned wisdom, nor do I have the knowledge of the Holy One. Augur knew some things about God, some very important things, which he tells us in verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven and descended? That's a good question. Augur knew that God and the angels that serve God are able to go back and forth between this dimension and the heavenly dimension. Who has ascended into heaven and descended? God, the angels. Augur asks another question. Who has gathered the wind in his fists? The answer to that question is only God. Only the Creator has the power to control the mighty winds on earth. A large storm with powerful winds can cover several huge states. A hurricane is the most powerful atmospheric phenomena with winds that can destroy entire cities. A hurricane could be 500 miles in diameter and cover almost 200,000 square miles. Who has gathered the wind in his fists? It's as easy for the Creator to control these powerful, vast winds as a man is able to reach down and put a pebble in his fist. Augur asks another question. Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Well, the answer is God. Only God can control the mighty oceans and seas, which cover 70% of this huge planet. The average depth of the oceans are several thousand feet. Now, there's about 660,000 gallons of water in an Olympic-sized swimming pool. There is about 326 million trillion gallons of water on Earth. So, if my calculations are right, there are about 500 trillion swimming pools worth of water on Earth, about 70,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools of water per individual on Earth. God can control these millions of trillions of gallons of water with the same ease that a man might pour some water into a bottle and then wrap it up in his shirt. Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Only God. Who has established all the ends of the earth? Another question wise Augur asks. Imagine a cube that is filled with earth, that is a mile long, a mile wide, and a mile high. That's a lot of dirt. That's really big, a mile by a mile by a mile, one cubic mile. I would hate to have to carry all that earth from one place to another. What a task that would be. Now consider that this amazing planet is about 8,000 miles in diameter. Earth has a volume of about 260 billion cubic miles. And God made it all. The Lord made the entire huge earth just as easily as a man can assemble a little building from a set of Legos. Who has established all the ends of the earth? Only God. This wise individual, Augur, knew that God is powerful. God is present everywhere. He can ascend from earth to heaven and descend from heaven to earth. God is able to go anywhere, be anywhere. And Augur knew that God is knowable. He has a name. Human beings can know that name. We can know who God is. We can know essential things about the Creator. And Augur knew that God has a son, and that son has a name. which means that it's possible to know the identity of the Son of God. Listen to this question that Augur raises. What is his name who has done all these things? What is his son's name? Surely you know. What is the name of the one who has ascended into heaven and descended? What is the name of the one who has gathered the mighty winds in his fists? What is the name of the one who has established all the ends of the earth? Who is he? He's the creator. He is the eternal God. He's the source of life. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the savior of fallen mankind. He is the redeemer of sinful human beings. And what is the name of his son? Augur asks. How interesting. God has a son. And what is the name of the Son of God? Israel. The nation of Israel is God's firstborn son nation among the other nations of the world. It's important for the nations of the world to know that the nation of Israel is God's firstborn son nation, the elder brother, so to speak, who is in the place of prominence and preeminence among the other members of the family of son nations. You see, God has chosen the Jewish people, this Jewish son nation, to be in the place of spiritual leadership here on earth. God has chosen the son nation of Israel to bring spiritual leadership to the other nations of the world, to reveal himself to the other nations of the world, to help redeem the other nations of the world, to be a light to the other nations of the world. The name of that son is Israel, and the world needs to understand that and recognize that. But God has another son who is like the son nation of Israel and is connected to the son nation of Israel, but is greater than Israel. And the name of that greater son of God is Yeshua, Jesus. God has a very special son. A perfect son, a son who succeeded where the son nation of Israel all too often failed. And Yeshua is that son. He is the Son of God. Now, when you hear the Bible teach that Jesus is the Son of God, that does not mean that God created his son or that Messiah is younger than God, or that Yeshua was in some way given birth by God the Father. It means exactly the opposite. When you hear that Jesus is the Son of God, it means that Yeshua shares the very same nature as God, just as the son of a dog shares the nature of a dog, just as a human son shares the human nature of his human father. Yeshua being the Son of God means that Yeshua is fully God. He is deity. He is divine. He is eternal. He is uncreated. He has life within himself, just as the Father has life within himself. The Son shares all the essential attributes of God. The Son is equal to the Father in nature. But the Father is superior to the Son in position and in authority. The Son sits at the right hand of the Father. The Father sits on the main throne in heaven. The Son never sends the Father. The Father sends the Son. The Father commands the Son. The Son never commands the Father. The Son obeys the Father. The Father speaks the word, and the Son carries out the word of the Father. The Son acknowledged that the Father is superior to him in position when he calls him my Father and my God, John chapter 20, verse 17. And just as the Son nation of Israel was placed by God in the position of leadership among the other Son nations, so God has placed his son, Messiah Jesus, above all the other sons and daughters of God. Messiah is in the position of leadership among all the children of God. And just as God chose the Sun Nation of Israel to lead the other nations and reveal himself to the other nations and help redeem the other nations, so God has chosen his Son, Yeshua, to lead the children of God, reveal God to the children of God, and redeem the children of God. God has a name, and that name can be known. And if we are going to be safe, it is essential that we know God. And God has a Son, and the Son of God has a name. And if we are going to be protected, it is essential that we know the identity of the Son of God. And to get all the safety and protection we need in this dark, fallen, chaotic, confused, dangerous, deadly world, we need to know the Word of God and respect the Word of God and not add to the Word of God like so many millions of human beings do. This is Rabbi Loren. You're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. I'm talking about the wisdom we receive from Proverbs chapter 30, verses now 5 through 6. Every word of God is tested. He, God, is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to God's words, or he will reprove you. He will correct you. And you will be proved a liar. Because we are fallen, the words of human beings are generally unreliable. Most human beings are not faithful and true. They are not trustworthy. They will say one thing and then do another. They will make promises and then will not fulfill those promises. They will sign contracts and then break those contracts. They will make vows, solemn vows, and then break those vows. Human beings find it very easy to lie. They twist the truth, they spin, they deceive, they give half-truths that deceive. But in contrast to fallen man, in his unreliable words, there is the Word of God. Just like we speak and use words, so God speaks and God uses words. But his words are so much more reliable than our words. Augur tells us that every word of God is tested, like gold that is refined in fire and comes out pure and valuable and useful. And not just some of the words of God are tested, and some are not tested and therefore unreliable, but every word of God is tested, which means it's trustworthy, true, reliable, beneficial. Everything that God has ever said, may be saying now, and ever will say, including the divinely inspired Bible from Genesis through Revelation, which is the Word of God, is tested, accurate, reliable, worthy of our trust, important for our well-being, essential for our safety, our protection, from the powerful and deadly forces that surround us. In a dark, fallen world full of deadly lies, deception, confusion, and false paths that lead to death, we need a word that is tested, that is true, that is able to protect human beings from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death, from the doctrines of demons, from the errors and lies and the deception of man, from false religions and counterfeit theologies. God has spoken to humanity, primarily through the Sun Nation of Israel, through Moses and the prophets, through the Jewish apostles, and above all, through the ultimate Son of God, the Jewish Messiah, Jesus. God has given us his word. It is tested. It is true. And he uses his word to save us. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Faith and salvation are connected to us understanding and implementing the word of God. It's not possible to take refuge in God and find spiritual safety apart from God and his tested word. Faith and salvation come by hearing. Hearing what? hearing the word of God, hearing the truth about God, hearing the truth about Messiah, the Son of God, who is the one and only Savior of the world. The word of God blesses and protects those who take refuge in it, who believe it, who study it, who learn it, who practice it, who allow it to permeate their minds, who allow it to change their values, who allow it to direct their priorities. Rabbi Paul commended Timothy with these words: "From infancy, you, Timothy, have known the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Messiah Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We need to receive the word of God for what it is, the word of the faithful and true God. And we dare not add to this tested, true word of God and mix in our man-made teachings, our confused ideologies with it. God's word is true, and it will be proven true. God will defend his word from those who would use it for their own ends, who would twist it, who would have the gall to add their ideas, their thoughts to the word of God, as if man-made thoughts were equal to God in wisdom and truthfulness. We need to know that the living God is the God who is holy, the God who is a consuming fire, the God who knows how to punish the wicked, the God who will rebuke those who dare add to his word. My friends, life for fallen human beings who live in a fallen world is very serious. The only way that we could make it successfully through this dark and deadly and confusing world and enter God's real and wonderful and eternal world is to know God, to know God himself, and to know the Son of God, and to know the Word of God. And we dare not add to the tested, true, reliable Word of God. Well, this is Rabbi Loren. I've been speaking from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. And I would like to invite pastors to a special lunch for pastors to explore the relationship between the church and the Jewish community. It's this coming Tuesday, so we need to get final reservations in by Friday afternoon, including a discussion of how the church might better relate to the Jewish community, as well as some of the latest trends affecting ministry to the Jewish people. Jewish ministry is really important, my friends. If you are a pastor, please join us for lunch next Tuesday, February 28th, at the Regency Manor in Southfield. Even if you're not a pastor, but you have a pastor, please tell your pastor to call and register for this lunch. Time is running out. Our keynote speaker will be David Brickner, the executive director of Jews for Jesus, which is the largest Messianic Jewish outreach ministry in the world. He also happens to be my dear brother-in-law. David will be the keynote speaker, and I'm going to give a talk, and it'll be followed by a question and answer session that David and I will both try to answer questions. Lunch is absolutely free. However, there will be an opportunity to make a donation to help the work of Jews for Jesus for those who choose to make a donation to support that fine ministry. But lunch is nevertheless absolutely free. For reservations, please call the office 248-593-5150. Again, that's 248-593-5150. We need to make our final count to the Regency Manor by Friday afternoon. So call and let's get those reservations in. This should be a great event. Well, this is Rabbi Loren. It's been great to be with you on Jesus Made Me Kosher. I hope that you'll join me again tomorrow for another edition. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can join us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.